Thank you, Brother Kleppen, and thank you, Brother Drake, for that beautiful prayer. The file that I posted in the chat, don't worry about it now. I'm not going to be showing it during our session. It's just for your library. It is actually the insert for the November-December Herald magazine, and it's titled the Names, Titles, and Epitaphs of God. But it's going to be, so it would be a nice afterthought for you to download it and review it later. If you receive a copy of the Herald magazine subscription, you will receive this in full color in your January-February issue of the Herald magazine. Well, brethren, it's great to be with you again. Brother Larry talked about passion and how important it is for passion to be a part of our consecration. There are two major ways that we relate to life and to God, and half of us relate through our feelings and half of us relate through our thinking. And I happen to be like Brother Larry. I relate to God through my feeling. And I really appreciate that focus and that highlight. I'd like to bring the love of the brethren from Columbus, Ohio Bible Students Ecclesia. The source of my service today comes from an article that I contributed to the Herald magazine, and that is actually current out in November and December of this year. Brother Dan Wessel from Albuquerque and I were co-editors of the November issue of that particular Herald magazine. Brother Dan Wessel chose the theme and also the outline of the articles. And today's service, I'd like to share with you the article that I contributed to that issue. Now, in full disclosure, Brother Jim Parkinson helped me heavily with this article. So you will see that since I am a person of feeling, Brother Jim Parkinson's thinking was an important part of the equation. Well, brethren, let's open our Bibles. That would really benefit you to open your Bible to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. And I'd like to read that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We love Psalm 23. It's one of David's most heartfelt and beautiful works. It's a lovely prayer supplication that has become a healing balm, a comfort to us and to all of God's people. A closer look at Psalm 23 reveals something very special. And David, it reveals that David used the principles of eight of God's titles to summarize how God helped him through great difficulty. These are eight benefits and remedies that David received through faith. I'd like to highlight some of those. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. This highlights the Jehovah Roi, and that is the Lord who sees. We think of God as a shepherd of his flock, and David was one of his sheep. And David was recognizing God as the shepherd who sees by using this title, Jehovah Roi, this name of God. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Roi. I shall not want. That's Jehovah Jireh. That's the Lord who will provide. And the first use of that was Abraham's use in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, when he said, the Lord will provide a lamb. David uses it here. The next one is, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That shows that the Lord is peace. And David uses the title Jehovah Shalom. The next one was mentioned in our previous discourse. Jehovah Rapha, and that's the Lord who heals you. When David says he restoreth my soul. The next one is Jehovah Tzidkenu, and that is the Lord our righteousness. When he says he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The next one is Jehovah Shammah, and that is the Lord is there. When he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The next one is Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord is my banner. When David says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The next one is Jehovah Emkadishkim, and that is the Lord that sanctifies. And we see this in David's statement, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brethren, we think that David, in a sense, uses these eight specific titles, actually two names of God. The first two are the names of God, and the last six are titles. But we think that David uses these eight specific titles and names of God to teach us shorthand for claiming God's promises. That simply by saying each title, a comforting promise comes to mind. And David delivers what we may consider a breath prayer. Have you ever given a breath prayer in your daily experience? I have. And we can use these breath prayers. We can use these titles of God that encapsulate these promises in our own troubles. These are eight precious promises that we may confidently claim by using these specific names and titles of God. Let's review them. There's eight in Psalm 23. Jehovah Roi, that's the God who sees. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, and Jehovah Emkadishkim, the Lord sanctifies you. 1 Samuel 13:14 tells us that something very interesting, and I think this is a statement from God or that through the prophet to Saul, but it basically he's saying to Saul that the Lord hath sought David a man after his own heart. 2 Samuel 7:16, God promises David that one of his descendants would always be on the throne of Israel when he said, and thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now that descendant of David proved to be Jesus. And we'd like to make that connection between Jesus and David. And we'd like to examine how Jesus may have found great comfort in Psalm 23 during his ministry, during the entirety of his ministry, and while he hung on the cross. In fact, we think of Psalm 22 as the scripture that Jesus thought of while he was on the cross. But we'd also like to review Psalm 22 along with Psalm 23 in 24 as a complete package that would provide Jesus solace, promise, and vision. Psalm 22 through 24 would have certainly been on Jesus' mind during his entire ministry. But there are three experiences at the beginning of this of Jesus's ministries, his ministry that seem coincident with the Psalms 22, 23, and 24. Let's take a look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a very graphic description of of the crucifixion. And we reflect on Psalm 22, and we think that Jesus would have been comforted in these graphic depictions. And then seeing these prophecies that were prophesied in Psalm 22 occurring in real time, which was showing that Jesus, helpless on the cross, would have seen that his heavenly Father was completing a sacrifice and perfecting his new creature by making sure that all of these prophecies were complete. That's a titanic concept that we just so appreciate. But let's take a look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry that Brother Larry described in his discourse. Before Jesus' baptism, right before Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. We find that in John chapter 1, verse 29. And Psalm 22 personifies Jesus' sacrifice as the antitypical lamb that was slain in the temple each morning and each evening. Wow. That would have been a beautiful realization for Jesus while he was hanging there on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it is finished. Are the clues that we like to remember that Jesus would have reviewed Psalm 22. Let's take a look at Psalm 23 and something that happened at the beginning of Jesus's ministry that is kind of coincident with Psalm 23. Now, after Jesus's baptism, God called out to Jesus and his brethren. Remember what he said? Brother Larry said it in his discourse. God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we can find this in Matthew chapter 3:17. Now, one of the most beautiful correlations one of the most beautiful connections between Jesus' experience and David writing Psalm 23 is when God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wow, that would have been a beautiful confirmation. Did you know that David's name means beloved? Therefore, with this statement, God affirmed his acceptance of Jesus's consecration. And God linked Jesus's ministry to perpetuating David's kingly throne. And we think that just as Psalm 23 was David's solace in distress, Jesus would find parallels of comfort during his walk with the Heavenly Father, and he would look forward to the promise of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. That's what verse 6 says in Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But that's not all. Let's take a look at Psalm 24. Remember, we're looking at three things in the beginning of Jesus' ministry that are coincident with Psalm 22, 23, and 24. So far, we've considered Psalms 22 and 23. But let's consider Psalm 24. You remember Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? Psalm 24 is about the return of Jehovah as the Good Shepherd, who would once again take dominion of the earth. And Jesus, I think, would see his three temptations in the wilderness as the opportunity for him to demonstrate his loyalty to his heavenly Father with clean hands, with a pure heart, resisting the vanity of temporal gain, and receiving the righteousness from God of his salvation. We can see this in Psalm 24, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 24, verses 4 and 5, where it says, "He that hath a clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Wow. We think that this might have been a focus of Jesus' thinking while he was on the cross, certainly during his ministry, but that going back 1260 days to his temptation in the wilderness would have been a beautiful reflection on the power and providence of God And perhaps we can see parallels in our own life, in our own temptations, as we reflect in our older years, to see the providence and power of God. And we can too take solace in some of these beautiful prophecies in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. Like David, Jesus experienced times of great distress, especially during his crucifixion. Jesus, if he reviewed Psalm 22 while he was on the cross, which we think he did, he would have noticed God revealing things to him in real time. And this would have been a great comfort in knowing that his heavenly Father accepted his sacrifice by arranging these experiences in his final hours. We propose that the beautiful progression of thought outlined in these three chapters are David's breath prayers, the principles of God's protection, detailed by these eight titles of God, would provide great comfort to Jesus in his distress while on the cross. And to us, the implications are magnificent. We come into a beautiful temple of the power of the Holy Spirit as God comes into our body and gives us that through his Holy Spirit and works with us to do the work of developing us in his righteousness. Because we get to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus asks us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him. And following Jesus, inevitably, as Brother Larry pointed out in his discourse, following Jesus' footsteps means that we will have distressful experiences. But we too may apply the progression of thought that David established in Psalm 22 through 24. So we'd like to spend some time, and we'd like to compare the distress of Psalm 22 with these titles of God that David embedded in Psalm 23, and think about the possible connection that Jesus made while he was on the cross. And we think that in these two chapters, that God would have assured Jesus, our Lord, with a quiet confidence that his sacrifice was acceptable. And then going on to chapter 24, it's so beautiful. It's a beautiful, a magnificent casting up of the vision of God, God's peaceable kingdom. And we believe that Psalm 24 would have encouraged Jesus of the promised glory that would follow his resurrection. That glory would have been greater than what he enjoyed as the Logos. So if we are correct in these associations of Psalm 22, 23, and 24, then the last words of Jesus, "It is finished," those would have been much more than a mere hope of success. It would have been his final breath prayer of thanksgiving. For by recounting all of the prophecies of Psalm 22 that God fulfilled when he was helpless on the cross, Jesus' words would represent his confidence in God's power to finish the perfection of his new creature, and thus his ransom sacrifice. Remember the scripture in Hebrews where it says Jesus was made perfect through suffering? He already had a perfect human nature. That's not what was made perfect. It was his new creature that was being made perfect. And that would have been a powerful admonition or a powerful encouragement to Jesus while he was on the cross. So let's take a look at a list of how God's eight titles in Psalm 23 may have provided specific comfort through those crucifixion experiences. I think the correspondence is compelling. Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord who sees," that's where Jehovah Roy is mentioned. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for any temporal things." That's the way Jesus laid down the example for us during his whole ministry. We think that that might relate to Psalm chapter 22, verses 14 through 15. It says in Psalm 22, 14 and 15, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. So David here explains the posture of Jesus' body during the crucifixion. It's in shocking prophetic detail. And Jesus would see the fulfillment of David's prophecies in his own experience. And he would know that God was watching over him carefully as his shepherd. And Jesus would, through this realization, would have been encouraged not to partake of the vinegar and gall, which would have somewhat anesthetized him to the experience, the pain of the crucifixion. At least it would have clouded his mind. So even in his final hours, Jesus was intent on fulfilling all prophecy. Though he may have felt far from God's protection, he would keep his mind clear even while his body was failing. Jehovah Roi, the God who sees. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. We see this in verse 1 also when it says, I shall not want. The Lord will provide. I think it might relate to Psalm 22, verse 16. In Psalm 22, verse 16, it says, For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Wow. Amazing experience that Jesus was going through. He could read about it. He could dwell on it. He could think about it and see that it was prophesied in Psalm 22 and that God was arranging for these things to happen. Well, who are these dogs that have compassed me? Well, I think they're the Gentile Roman soldiers. They were in control, and they were acting out the will of the Roman leaders like gangs of wild dogs without regard for innocent human life. They pierced Jesus' hands and feet, a clear description of the crucifixion that Jesus would have anticipated and was now experiencing. We don't know that Jesus knew the details of his crucifixion, but we can think that he might have anticipated it. And Jesus could use the breath prayer of Jehovah Jireh to claim the promise of God's overruling at this moment on the cross. And he would recall that Abraham was the first time use of that name of God when he was referring to Isaac about the sacrifice. The Lord will provide a lamb. And Jesus would provide the full weight. Jesus would experience the full weight of the opportunity, knowing that Jehovah Jireh would provide him as the antitypical ram among that crown of thorns. Psalm 23, verse 2, the Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We think that this might relate to Jesus's mental stress from the attacks of hypocritical religious leaders. And David frames these leaders as ravening and roaring lions for us in Isaiah 35, verse 9. And this ravening describes any animal that really kills for sport. A lion kills for food. A ravening animal kills for sport. While David used Jehovah Shalom to describe God's peace that is given to his sheep in green pastures beside still waters, on the cross, and while using this breath prayer, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus might have the opportunity to review the spiritual food and drink that he also received from his Heavenly Father during his ministry, during his intimate prayers with his Heavenly Father, and then claim this promise of peace. we see this difficult experience in graphic detail in Psalm 22, verses 11 and 12. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Those are the Roman soldiers that were acting out the will of their earthly authority. Psalm 23, verse 3, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Rophika. Psalm 22, verses 4 through 5, it says, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. Wow, that would have been an interesting experience if Jesus on the cross reviewed how God fulfilled the trust of his faithful men and women of old, the ancient worthies. Verse 5, they cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. What a beautiful confirmation of what Jesus could do in his moment on the cross to his heavenly Father, that he too could follow the pattern of the ancient worthies and cry unto God and count on that deliverance. So as with the ancient worthies, Jesus would be confident that his extreme anguish on the cross would also not affect God's power to deliver him from the experience of the crucifixion because of the pattern given in the ancient worthies' experience. Jehovah Rophika would act as a breath prayer that Jesus could use to claim the same promise of God's deliverance. Now, one of the things that I appreciate is in Psalm 22, verse 24. Psalm 22, verse 24, the very end of that scripture says, I'll read the whole verse 24. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. And then here's the key phrase. But when he cried unto him, he heard. I think that Jesus knew that God would hear him on the cross. Just an idea. I think verse 24 tells us that. But when he cried unto him, he heard. But perhaps Jesus felt the full total weight through the emotional experience of the crucifixion. And we can relate to Jesus in our own distress. And there's plenty of things that we have distress about in our life. But just like Jesus, we should remember to frame our emotional experiences with the Word of God and to look to him for our healing, Jehovah Rophika. The next one is the Lord our righteousness. That's Jehovah Tsidkenu. And we find this in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. We think this might relate to Psalm 22, verse 22, where it says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Now, this is a key point that Brother Jim Parkinson gave me. This is his stuff. It's not mine. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Wow, what is that referring to? Well, I think that this is prophecy Jesus fulfilled during his ministry. As he noted at the end of his prayer in Gethsemane, remember that in John 17, where he says, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Wow, that's a direct correlation to this Psalm 22:22. Where it says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Isn't that a great correlation? Wow, Jesus declared God's name to his Jewish brethren as a righteous God. And by his sacrificial death, Jesus demonstrated God's righteous plan for atonement and their deliverance through the antitypical blood of the Lamb. Jehovah Tzidkenu. The next one is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. We find that in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We think this might relate to Psalm 22, verse 17. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare at me. Jesus' bones were visible to all of the observers in the excruciating posture of his crucifixion. And while Jesus would have been an outcast in the eyes of men, he may have also recognized this phrase as an idiom to describe how his enemies considered him weak and helpless. A little bit like how Goliath looked upon David. Remember that? One of the greatest hero stories in the Old Testament. And Jesus' mind might have gone there. Do we define our life by what other people think of us? We should not. If Jesus did that, he would have been a hopeless in this moment. But Jehovah Shammah is a breath prayer that we can use. And it means the Lord is there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Jehovah Shammah. The next one is the Lord my banner, Jehovah Nissi. In verse 5, we read about this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We have spiritual food that our enemies cannot eat off of. They're eating off tables of vomit. Thou preparest a table. In our case, it's present truth. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. This is one of the most beautiful, fantastic, titanic concepts in this whole Psalm 23 to me. And I think it might relate to Psalm 22, verses 6 through 8. And this is what that says in verses 6 through 8 of Psalm 22. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighted in him. And I think that what God does for us, when he anointest my head with oil. You know what a shepherd, you know why a shepherd anoints the sheep's head with oil? Because it keeps the pests out. It keeps the pests from bothering him, from getting in his ears, from getting in his nose, from getting in the sheep's eyes. And those three things, our sight, our hearing, and our nose, are metaphors for our spiritual senses. The eyes and the ears and the nose are metaphors for spiritual senses of knowledge, perception, understanding, hearing, and discernment, smelling. So in this case, the oil of the Holy Spirit in Jesus's life protected his spiritual senses from the pests in the present evil world. And this is how we participate in the experience of Jesus during his ministry, during our own ministry, during those rejecting opportunities, those rejecting experiences. Those in political power reproached Jesus during his ministry. They believed that his sacrifice was unto death was worthless, and he was considered a worm in their eyes. But Jesus had the secret sauce. He knew that the crimson-colored blood of the worm identified in this prophecy would provide a ransom for those who were laughing at him, those who were mocking him and challenging him to deliver himself. That's what was on Jesus's mind. Why? Because he was anointed with oil. His spiritual senses of perception, of understanding and discernment, they were rock solid before God. And these gave Jesus spiritual insights into the evil of his enemy, the adversary, who sought to thwart his relationship with Jehovah Nissi, Jesus's banner. The last one we'll take a look at is Jehovah M. Kaddishkum, the Lord who sanctifies you. Have you ever been sanctified? Have you ever felt the power of that sanctification where something happened and you said, oh, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, my Lord Jesus. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think considering these words of David would have greatly encouraged Jesus on the cross. I think it relates to Psalm 22, 30 through 31. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and they shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born. He hath done this, that he hath done this. So I think the future generations, which David describes here, is the precious bride of Christ, his church, developed during the gospel age. And if you read the article in the Herald magazine this month, you'll see Brother Jim's footnote at the bottom of the article. Check it out. And this seed would be developed during the gospel age by the Holy Spirit, which perfected Jesus's new creature. We can read about that in Hebrews 2:10. And for us, in following Jesus's footsteps, those who would also submit to God's sanctifying power, they would declare God's righteousness to future generations in the millennial age of God's kingdom, the mediatorial phase of God's kingdom. So Jesus's last words on the cross, "It is finished," may have come from David's last words in Psalm 22, which he says, "He hath done this." Just as God set aside his only begotten Son for the work of the ransom, God will also sanctify us for the gospel ministry. That hope, that specter that we have before our spiritual vision of the work that Jesus would have seen before his vision would have been exhilarating to Jesus while he was on the cross. It should be exhilarating to us during our sacrificial experience during this day of salvation. And through all of Jesus' excruciating experiences, Jesus would have been assured that his sacrifice was complete. And we may also have that same confidence in our experiences. Well, brethren, we don't have time to go through Psalm 24. We're going to close with a few lessons. So we may also use God's titles, as David suggests in Psalms 23. We will find them to be light to our path of following Jesus' footsteps. They will be our guideposts. They are spiritual food for our new creature. And they will give us the warmth of fellowship with our Heavenly Father. That same warmth of fellowship that Jesus enjoyed during his ministry, and which he likely recalled while he was on the cross. Brethren, we too have distress and trauma. And we may not be able to find the words to express ourselves to God. However, we may use these eight titles of God as breath prayers to claim his promises for our comfort and peace. And finally, Psalm 24 would have reminded Jesus of the joy set before him. Brethren, let's think of that beautiful vision that was cast up by our Lord Jesus and planned by our Heavenly Father and inaugurated through the Abrahamic promise and ratified by Jesus's ransom sacrifice. This joy undoubtedly helped Jesus endure the cross and despise the shame. And it gave him a glimpse into the future work when he would once again enjoy being exalted to the right hand of God, but this time with the divine nature. Let this be your secret story, brethren. Let this be our secret story. Let it inspire us with hope for our heavenly home. And God bless you. Amen.
And Brother Todd, can you close with a word of prayer?
Yes, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these beautiful people. We thank you for these ones who have decided to listen to the words of your servants, the apostles, the prophets, and of course to your word and to our Heavenly Father. We ask for strength, Heavenly Father, that we might do your will, that we might take these words of solace and find comfort in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We thank you for these fresh realizations of your will in our lives, and we ask that you'll help us to be faithful. We know that all of the brethren in this meeting and the world over are going through special, excruciating experiences. We ask that you'll please reveal yourself through your names and those promises to them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.